Stuck here. Anyway, what's it called? Rabbi Yammer? You're going to announce it.
Rabbi Yammer, Rosh Yeshiva of Shalavim, Mivtza and Tevi Bahalacha.
Okay, Erev Tov, everybody. Very warm welcome to Rav Yammer and to all of you. Thank you for all of you for coming to tonight's this evening shiur, which is presented as part of the community-wide Beit Medrash program for Givat Sharet. The goal of the program is to have noted Rabbanim and Rosh Yeshiva come to the community and deliver shiurim approximately once a month in the shuls throughout the neighborhood. I'd like to thank the sponsoring organizations for enabling this program to happen throughout the year. Beit Midrash Torah Ani Lumi, Netzach Menashe, Oel Yonah Menachem, Beit Knesset Feigenson, Kehilat Nofei HaShemesh, Garin Yachad, and Yeshiva University in Israel. In addition, I want to thank all of the committee members for their help in making this event possible. Please visit our website, BeitShemeshTorah.org, where we have announcements, Mari Makomot, and recordings of all shiurim, including tonight's shiur. I would ask you to turn off your cell phones and hold your questions until the end of the shiur. After shir, we'll have a kibbutz in the midrash in the back, as well as an additional ma'ariv at 9:30 right here. Tonight's shir is Ilui Nishmat Devorah Friedman, Devorah Bat Chaim, whose second yard site is on Zayin Tammuz. We are very grateful to the Friedman and Goldberg families for their support. Meir Neshama, have an aliyah. I'd like to call on Rav Shlomo Friedman to say a few words and to introduce Rav Yammer.
Erev Tov, thank you. Bershuta Abi Mori, Bershuta Rav Professor Nachum Rakover, Tzibor Kadosh. I'd like to thank everybody here for attending this Shi'ur Le'ilui Nishmat Imi Morati, Dvor Bat Rub Chaim. I'd like to thank Michael and Sharon, who sponsored, are very much involved in arranging this Shi'ur, one of the many, many expressions of their exemplary kibbud of the aim. The Gemara Moed Katan and Daf Chav Chet tells us in connection with the Psukim this week's Parsha, Lama Nismacha Mitat Miriam Lepara Aduma. Lomar Lecha Ma Para Aduma Mechaperet Af Mitat Tzadikim Mechaperet. What exactly is the nature of the Kapara of Para Aduma, and how does this connect to Mitat Tzadikim? To be able to fully answer this question is something which we can't, simply due to the fact that Para Aduma is a chok. And hence the Torah doesn't give us the explanation of how Para Aduma works, what Para Aduma is all about. On the other hand, particularly because we don't know the reason, we're not told the reason for Para Aduma, this perhaps could give us somewhat of an insight into the nature of the Kapara of Para Aduma. After all, when we perform this mitzvah, or for that matter, when we perform any chok, we are acknowledging the fact that ki gabhu shamayim ma'aretz, ken gabhu drachay midarchechem, machshavotay machshavotechem. We acknowledge the fact that God's wisdom is so far beyond ours. And this is perhaps also part of the nature of the kapara of mitat tzadikim. Perhaps the kapara of mitat tzadikim is partially based on our accepting God's will, our understanding that His plans for the world are so far beyond our ability to understand, so far beyond what we're able to comprehend. We're told why Moshe and Aaron were not able to enter the land because of the sin of Meriva. But Miriam, why did she die? Why was she not zochet to enter the promised land? Chok. Chok chakakti. We surrender our will to the will of God. That perhaps is the kapara. But Rashi, when he quotes this Ma'amar Chazal, quotes in a slightly different form. Lama nismacha mitat Miriam lepara aduma lomar lecha ma karbanot mechaprim af mitat tzadikim mechaperet. What's the connection between the kapara of karbanot and the kapara of mitat tzadikim? There's a pasuk at the end of Mishle Perek Yud Aleph. Hein tzadik ba'aretz yishulam af ki rasha v'chote. Hein tzadik ba'aretz yishulam, if even a righteous person is punished, suffers, certainly a sinner. The idea being, when we see the righteous suffer, when we see that even the righteous are suffering from midat hadin, when even the righteous die, we understand that every person, eventually his time will come. That's something which is meant to get us to improve our deeds, to do tshuva, so that we will prepare ourselves for the world that's after this physical world. So we view the death of the tzaddik, we understand that at some point that will be our fate. And this is in fact what the kapara of karbanot is all about. When a person sins and brings a karban, when the karban is slaughtered, when the dam is sprinkled, he realizes that that in a certain sense was meant to be him. And that's something which attains kapara. Certainly, one important aspect of the kapara of mitat tzaddikim is when a tzaddik passes away, we focus on his actions, we focus on his deeds, and we are inspired by them. Certainly there are many wonderful qualities of my mother, alayhi shalom, whose compassion, whose scholarship, whose humility were exemplary. My father's brother, when he was a bachur, he was given some advice by a sister of his, he was told, when you look for a shidduch, so try to find somebody just like our sister-in-law, like Aunt Dvorah. I could understand that advice. Very special person. The seeds for my mother Shalom's wonderful midot were certainly planted by her parents and by the family. And therefore it's no coincidence that many of the amazing midot which mother had are midot which are also found in the rest of the family. We have over here a professor, Rav Nachum Rakover, whose many works speak for themselves, and, of course, Rav Yammer. My mother, Shalom, was very proud of her nephew, and just as my mother dedicated her scholarship for spiritual purposes, despite the fact that she had a scholarship from Hebrew University to study in MIT and Columbia, but nevertheless, she sacrificed all this for the sake of her family. Rav Yammer also comes from a family of scholars. His father was very close to Einstein, and in fact, Einstein wrote an introduction to one of his books, but Rav Yammer decided to dedicate his scholarship for spiritual pursuits for Torah. And therefore, it's a great honor that Rav Yammer will deliver this drasha, the Ilui Nishmat, and Mother Aleh Shalom. Thank you.
ערב טוב ומבורך, ברשות דודי פרופסור נחום רקובר, דודי מר יעקב פרידמן, הרב שלמה פרידמן, משפחה, ציבור קדוש. It's really very moving to be here tonight in the yahrzeit of my aunt Dvorah Friedman, that the shir is לעילוי נשמתה דבורה בת הרב חיים. Before we start the shiur, I want only Mamash in 2 minutes to say a few words about her so special personality. I remember as a kid, we were a year in Kew Garden Hills, and very near to the Friedman's house, and almost every Shabbat we were there with my parents, and it was so special to me to see a family that all what they speak during the whole meal is the love to Eretz Yisrael. I remember I couldn't understand it. To be in Chutz La'aretz for me wasn't easy, but to see a family that all their dream is to make Aliyah, to educate their kids in Eretz Yisrael. They bought small furniture in order that they can take it with them to Eretz Yisrael. The Hachnasat Orchim was something so special. I remember that I waited the whole week to that Hachnasat Orchim, being with them for Shabbos, because it was so special. And I remember that I never saw my aunt one time not doing anything. All the time with Zrizut, with Ameilut, with all the time understanding that every minute worthwhile, and she has to do with the time, projects and things. She was very, very talented. And she put a lot of effort in the chinuch of her children and in kibud horim of her father. May this shiur really will be le'inui nishmat. The Sfat Emet says that we say to Avilim, we are in the second yahrzeit, we say to Avilim, Hamakom yenachem otchem. And everyone asks, what do you say Hamakom? Why don't you say Hashem yenachem otchem? So most of the people, the Shem Yishmuel and others, says that Hamakom means the Makom Ba'olam Haba. This is the Nechama, because there is no end. We are very sorry, but we know that for the Niftar it's good. But the Sfat Emet says that the Makom are the Tzeitzayim, the kids. And if they continue the way, it means that there is Hemshech, not only Ba'olam Haba, but there is continuation Ba'olam Hazeh. And as we know, the tzeitzaim of my aunt, Harav Shmuel Friedman, Sharon, Alon in the States, we know how everyone really continues Bayit Shel Torah V'Shel Chesed. And that should be the Nechama Bezrat Hashem. The topic that I would like to discuss in the 40 minutes, half an hour that I would like to discuss it, is a very interesting case that happened 40 years ago. An airplane of Air France was kidnapped and came to Uganda. The terrorists said there were more than 100 people on the airplane. I remember those days very good. Two of my friends that were in Netiv Meir those days was in this airplane on their way to Brazil. And every day we went to the Kotel to Daven. And I remember exactly, I was in the Netiv Meir, and I remember exactly the day that the Mechablim said, "Or you free from jail 40 terrorists, or we killed more than 100 people in the airplane." And Rabin had to decide if he's releasing 40 terrorists from jail in order that the 100 people will come back. As we know later on, I'll come to that in the end of Shir, he decided to take Tzahal to Uganda, and we know that the brother of Bibi Netanyahu, Yonatan Netanyahu, was killed and others. We're going to discuss that later. But in the beginning, they even didn't think about taking Tzahal there. And the plan was, the question was, if you can release the 40 terrorists in order that they won't kill the 100. What is very, very interesting, that Rabin decided that he's going to Rav Avadia Yosef, with the chief rabbi, and want to get a halacha understanding if this is allowed or not. Rav Avadia Yosef decided that he's not going to decide about that by himself. He asked for 24 hours to give an answer, and in the evening he asked six great rabbis, leaders of Am Yisrael, to come to his house. Rav Eliashiv, Zechar Tzadik Livracha, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Zechar Tzadik Livracha, Rav Bezalel Zolti, that was the Rav of Yerushalayim, Zechar Tzadik Livracha, Rav Shaul Israeli, Rosh Hashivat Merkaz Arav, and Dayan, Zechar Tzadik Livracha, Rav Goldschmid, that was Dayan, and Rav Abba Bar Shaul. And the seven rabbis, for a few hours, were dealing with the question if this is allowed or not. I would like, in the half hour that I have, to share with you, very briefly, because it was for a few hours, but at least to give the guidelines, to give what were the questions that was discussed, what were the different opinions, what were the psak that Rav Avadia Yosef later gave to Yitzchak Rabin, and what was the question that followed that psak. Rav Avadia Yosef asked a member of the Mossad, the Security Department of Israel, to come to that meeting. And the question was, if these terrorists will be free, are they going to kill Jews later on, 10 years from now, 15 years from now? And the answer of the man of the Mossad, yes, yes. Most probably they will kill Jews in the continuation. Rav Avadia Yosef asked the man in the Mossad, do you think it will be more than 100 or less than 100? And his answer was, it will be less than 100. And the whole discussion that continued to be in that room went according to these assumptions. The assumption that releasing the terrorist will cause that there will be X, that we don't know who it is, but there will be someone X that will be killed another 5 years, and that X will be less than 100 people. And the question is, if this is allowed or not allowed. After the man of the Mossad gave the theory what would be, he finished the job. And now started the halachic discussion, and mainly The halachic discussion had three parts. I will go very briefly to every part, and please, if there are any questions, please join, that we really can learn together, and this learning will be le'ilui nishmat marat dvora batarav chayim. There is a very interesting Yerushalmi. Please look in the Yerushalmi Trumot, in the second part. Yichadu lahen echad kegon sheva ben bochri imseru oto velo yeharu amar rabim on ben lakish vehu sheye chayav mita kesheva ben bochri verabi yochanan amar אף על פי שאינו חייב מיטה כשבע בן בוכרה. Let's understand this Yerushalmi. Understand what was the halacha in this Yerushalmi, and understand how this Yerushalmi is connected to our question. A group of Jews are going in the desert, going surrounding them, and going tell them, give one. And if you won't give, and they ask for specific. In the beginning of the Yerushalmi is a case of not specific, I don't discuss it. They ask for Mr. X. As I know this very, very important community, as I understand there is no anyone in the name of Mr. X, so we can continue. So they ask for Mr. X. And if you'll give this Mr. X, the whole group will be survived. And if you won't give Mr. X, they will kill the whole group. And the question is if this is allowed or not allowed. Few cases, except the case that will come in a minute for Tzor, the few cases we had where this Yerushalmi was the main source that have to be dealt. Ghetto Kobna. 32 Jews are hidden. End of the war. It's not allowed to be hidden in a bunker. It's known that if the German find you hidden in the bunker, they kill all of you. The Jews hear the Nazis on top, and the baby starts to cry. And the father is trying to relax the baby. I don't know, in that time there were Kalibach songs, but in another songs. And the baby continued to cry because it's no air, everyone together, squeezing, and so on. And the father decided to choke the baby. It's killing one minority, sixth minority, the baby that is crying, in order to save majority. He came immediately after the war is finished to Rav Efrati, the Rav of Kobna. The father of Rav Efrati, that was a lot of years with Rav Eliashiv, and tell him, I'm a Kohen. And a Kohen is not allowed to kill. If he is killing, he can't go to the Dukhan all his life. But I saved 32 people, including myself. I was over Lotirtzach, or I wasn't over Lotirtzach. I killed minority to save majority. Was it allowed or not allowed? Case number one. Case number two. My uncle, Ara Professor Nachum Rakover, wrote a lot about that in a special pamphlet. Town of Tzor, soldiers are sleeping in a building, the rooms are small in the bottom, and therefore the simple soldiers are sleeping in the bottom. On top, big rooms they give the captains. In the middle of February, all the building collapse. Tzahal comes in, put walkie-talkie, and the prime minister gets a diagram. Who is still alive? 70 soldiers on the bottom, 7 captains on the top. If he will start to take stone from the top, We won't come to the 70 on the bottom. Three captains came and suggested to bring a tractor, move third of the pile, kill the minority in order to save the majority. Should we accept their opinion or not? Maybe even the case of the Twin Towers. When you had the second aeroplane that it was clear that he's going to shoot the building, are you allowed to shoot the aeroplane in order that it won't happen? That only the people in the aeroplane will die and not that the aeroplane will touch the building and the people in the building will die. And this is certainly connected to our question. Because the question is, the majority is the 100 people that are now in Entebbe. The minority are going to be Mr. X and Mr. Y that will be killed another 5 years. And according to the Mossad, it's clear that they will be dying. And it's clear that it will be minority. It will be less than 100. And the question is, are you allowed that this X, Y will be killed in order to save the 100 people? Rabbi Yochanan says, it's allowed. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, you always go according to numbers and you are killing minority to say majority. It means according to Rabbi Yochanan, the father was right by choking the baby. We had to accept the suggestion to kill the minority, to kill the captains in order to save the soldiers. And here too, we had to release the 40 mechablim, even if they will kill 20 people, because that's minority versus 100 that are now in Uganda. The problem is that Rish Lakish says it's not allowed. Rish Lakish says it's only allowed if the minority is Chayav Mitat Beidin, by a sin that he did before, like Sheva ben Bukhri, that was Mored Bamalchut. But when you don't have that, you don't kill minority to save majority. And the Rambam, we don't go, I won't read it, but you have the Rambam in front of you. The Rambam is posik like Rish Lakish. And you don't kill minority to save majority. Here you have a big problem now. Are we allowed to release the 40 terrorists? That they are going later on, 20 people will be killed? And Rish Lakish says you're not allowed to kill minority to save majority? Or we are not allowed. Lichora, according to Rish Lakish, we are not allowed. What is the logic of Rish Lakish? Why, when you have a group of 50 people, you really don't give one to save 50? What is the logic of Rish Lakish? And here we have a very big debate to understand the logic of Rish Lakish, and the logic of Rish Lakish is critical in order to give psak in our case. Two understanding or three understanding. Rabbi Shlomo Iger says, you know why you're not allowed to kill minority to save majority? Why the terrorists don't come to the men in this group and kill him by themselves? Why do they need you to hang him, to give him? They want to make love of you. They want to be mashpil you. That you have to take your friend and give it to the goy. Therefore there is element of Chilul Hashem, says Rabbi Shlomo Iger. And because there is element of Chilul Hashem, therefore Rish Lakish says it's not allowed. But says Rabbi Shlomo Iger, every time when there won't be a question of Chilul Hashem, no question that you should kill minority to save majority. According to Rabbi Shlomo Iger, we are now not killing Jews. We are not hanging anyone to death. We are releasing people. Therefore, it's not the same like the case of the Yerushalmi when you are moser a Jew to the goyim and you are mashpil yourself and making shirul Hashem. Therefore, according to Rav Shlomo Iger, it will be allowed. Because in our case, there is no element of chilul Hashem, and when there is no element of chilul Hashem, majority wins minority. Rav Kook, in Mishpat Kohen, in different places, says something different at all. Rav Kook says, people don't count according to numbers. And when you have seven captains and 70 soldiers, you don't know who is closer to Hashem. And when you have 20 that will be killed in 5 years and 100 now, you don't know who is better. Ma'ichazi dama didach sumaktfei, dilma dama daugava sumaktfei. Like one by one, it's not allowed. 20 and 100 is not allowed either. And it's not because of Chilul Hashem. It's because you don't count according to numbers. People are more than numbers. Therefore, according to Rav Kook, it won't be allowed. Because 20 people will be killed in 5 years. Maybe these 20 are more tzaddikim than the 100 that are now in Entebbe. And started in the room a big fight and a big fire. Are we posting like Rav Shlomo Iger? And therefore, in that case, it will be allowed because there is no element of Chilul Hashem. Or are we posting like Rav Kook and the Meiri and others that you don't go according to numbers and 20, 100 doesn't make a difference? And still, there is the Svara of Mai Chazi Dama Didach, and then it won't be allowed. Few Rabbanim wanted to say Rav Shlomo Iger is right. Few Rabbanim wanted to say Rav Kook is right. Suddenly came Rav Ovadia Yosef and said, I want to say that even in Rav Kook, even if we hold like Rav Kook, that the reason is that we don't know who is better, 20 or 100, but in our case it will be allowed. Why? He brings a very, very interesting Chazonish. The Chazonish, everyone knows him, one of the big Poskei Ador. The Chazonish had a case. He was Posek in his case. Then he wanted to write his Psak in a book, but he didn't want that the people will know that he speaks about that case. So he changed the details. The case was Bnei Brak. Everyone knows, everyone else in Bnei Brak in that time. Five people are living in the living room. And a Rimon Hashan is being thrown through the window to that living room. Garnit smoke. And it's clear that if it will hand in to the living room, all the five people will be dead. One of the men quickly saw the Rimon Hashan coming. He ran. And that time there was the Trisim was different than today. There were two big Trisim that you closed. He closed the Trisim. The Rimon Hashan touched the Trisim, fell down to the garden, and a boy that played in the garden died out of smoke. He came to the Chazon Ish and he said, I killed a boy. I saved five people, including myself, but I killed a boy. What tshuva do I have to do? We don't have time for that. I'm only saying it in bracket. I can say as a Rosh Hashiva and a Rav, and I was 5 years Rav of community in Ra'anana, one of the hardest questions that come to a posek, and when someone comes and says, I did something wrong, what is the tshuva that they have to do? Usually you don't find in the poskim clear understanding. What is the tshuva that he has to do? I can go, I won't go now, we don't have time. I can go to cases that people came to me. It was very hard for me to tell them what is the tshuva that they have to do. From the other hand, no question, a man that make a sin have to do tshuva. The tshuva is mainly kabbalah la'atid, charata la'avar. But what was a surprise when this man came to the Chazon Ish and said, I killed the boy playing in the garden. What tshuva do you have to do? He was surprised from the answer of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish said, what you did is right and you don't have to do tshuva. Why? He killed one to save five. According to Rav Shlomo Eiger, we understand. There is no Mesiva Lagoyim, there is no Chilul Hashem, therefore it's right. But what's here? But according to Rav Kook, why did he do the right thing? Maybe this boy is more tzaddik than the five people in the living room. Says the Chazon Ish. Let's see it, please, insight. Line in Rav Ovadia Yosef, in the end of the first page, line number 4. ונראה דלא דמי למוסרים אחד להריגה דהתם המסירה היא פעולה אכזרית למטרה של הריגת נפש ובפעולה זו אין הצלת אחרים בטבע הפעולה אלא המקרה גרם עכשיו הצלה לאחרים אבל הטיית החץ מצד זה לצד אחר היא בעיקרה פעולת הצלה ואינה קשורה כלל באופן ישיר בהריגת היחיד רק במקרה נמצא עכשיו בצד האחר אדם מישראל ואפשר שיש לנו להשתדל למעט עבידת ישראל כל מה שאפשר מאחר שאם לא יעשה כן יהרגו הרבה נפשות says the Chazon Ish even according to Rav Kook that you are not allowed to even according to Ish Lakish that you are not allowed to kill minority to save majority this is in a case where you are killing the minority but In a case, what you are doing now is action of Hatzalah. And if there won't be this boy in the garden, there won't be a question. You are closing the Tvisim in order that the granite won't come in. The circumstances was that it will, because there is a boy now, we have a question of minority versus majority. But it's not action of Achzariyut, it's action of Hatzalah. No question that according to everyone you should kill minority to save majority if you are doing action of Hatzalah says Rav Ovadia Yosef in our case too it's action of Hatzalah all what you are doing now you are redeeming 40 soldiers in order to save 100 The circumstances will be that another 5 years it will cause 20 people to be killed. But the action that you are doing now is action of Hatzalah and not action of Hariga. And therefore Rav Ovadia Yosef wanted to compare it to the Psak of the Chazon Ish. And therefore he said, even according to Rav Ovadia Yosef it will be allowed. Because now you are doing action of Hatzalah. You are not doing action of Hariga. It will cause another 20 years question of Hariga. But the action that you are doing now, and we'll be discussing now, is to redeem terrorists in order to save 100 people. And started a discussion in the room, are the two cases parallel or not? Rav Ovadia Yosef said that exactly the same. Some rabbis said it's not exactly the same. In the case of the terrorist, the kid is really not connected to the five people. By accident, he's there. But it's not connected. Here, the redeeming of the people is causing, because they are terrorists, that they will kill 20 people in the continuation. It's not exactly that the minority, the Hatzalah and the Achzariyut are not connected, like the case of the kid. In his book, As I said, the Chazon Ish didn't want that all the people would know that he speaks about that case of Bnei Brak, so he speaks about an error that came to five people, and the man is changing the direction of the error in order that it will kill one. And Chazon Ish said, it's allowed, because changing the direction of an arrow is Hatzalah, and Hatzalah is allowed. The summary of part number one was, according to Rav Avadah Yosef at least, and some of the rabbis that sat down in that discussion, A, maybe we are going according to Rav Shlomo Iger, and it's not allowed only when you are moser to the goyim, because there is element of Chilul Hashem. B, according to Rav Kook, that says that the reason is Mai Chazit, still here because there is an action of Hatzalah, it will be allowed. And therefore, Rav Avadah Yosef summarized after a lot of discussion with the seven Gdolim that that topic will be allowed. Any questions? If not, I'm going to topic number two. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Ne'amed Bo. Ken Gavre. Ma Shla Rotze. Rak Bekol. של מה?
של פדיון שבויים.
נגיע לזה במספר 3. חלק מספר 3. קם רב שאול ישראלי, זכר צדיק לברכה, and said, but you know what the problem is? The problem is that when you are releasing these 40 terrorists, you are really risking now all the Jews. Because no one knows who will be the 20 that will be killed another few years. So now you are causing thousands of people to be in safek sakana in order to save these 100 people. And now you are not speaking about 20, you are speaking about millions of people. Because you don't know which one this terrorist will kill. So now you are putting all Am Yisrael, million of people, in safek sakana, in order to save the 100 people. Is that allowed or not? If you remember in Pesach this year, we had a big tragedy. Three boys were swimming in the Kinneret. They were drowned. And the lifeguard saw them drowning and didn't go out. And his reason was, the Kinneret is very, very, very wild, and if I'm going out, I'm risking my life, and I don't have to risk my life in order to save the three boys, or one of them. No, he couldn't save three of them together. And here we are coming to a very, very interesting machloket. Yerushalmi, Agahot Maimoniot. Are you allowed to risk your life? You have a chiyuv? Question number one. Are you allowed, or if it's forbidden, to risk your life in order to save others? The Yerushalmi says you have a chiyuv to do it. It's part of Lo Ta'amod Adam Re'echa. The Hagahot Maimoniyot says you are not allowed. Therefore, according to the Hagahot Maimoniyot, the lifeguard was right but not going out. Even if this is a job and he's being paid for, he's being paid for taking training, and his risking is 10 times more if I will risk my life. He knows how to do it professionally. And for this he's being paid. For taking all the training in order that he can do it without risking his life. But even him, or a fireman, or a policeman, when the question is not when he doesn't risk his life because he has special clothes and so on. The question is, even with all the training and all the special clothes, when he still has to risk his life, he doesn't have to go out. According to that, go with my money out. And therefore came Rav Shaul Israeli and said, it shouldn't be allowed Because now we are risking all the Jews, and you are not allowed to put all the Jews in a safek in order to save. So the 100, the 20 in the end, that's Rish Lakish we spoke before. But the problem is that because we don't know who is the 20, you're now risking all Klal Yisrael. And Agahot Maimoniot said, you don't risk your life in order to save people. So why is this allowed? Came Rav Avada Yosef. All the time there was two opinions, Rav Shaul Israeli and Rav Avada Yosef. And all the others had to decide between these two. Came Rav Avada Yosef, and Rav Avada Yosef said something very, very special. There is a very interesting Nodah B'Yehuda. The Nodah B'Yehuda speaks about autopsy. Are you allowed to do autopsy to save people? The Nodah B'Yehuda said, you are allowed. Pikuach Nefesh is allowed to save, to be over Isur. But only in a case when now you are saving a man. Not in the case of research that you will save life another 10 years. Pikuach Nefesh is allowed only if it's miyadi, only if it's now. But we don't care about what will happen 10 years from now. If I'm allowed to say a personal story, my Avi Mori, Shorov Torati Mimeno, Zichrono Livracha, when his dream was to be a doctor. When he was 18 years old in Germany, in Berlin, his father, Shlomo Yammer, came to him and told him, look, you're a Kohen. And in that time, you must have autopsy in order to learn. Go to the Rav of Berlin and ask him if you are allowed to learn medicine. My father went to Rav Fryer, Shalhevet Fryer, in Berlin, asked him, and he said no. My father told the Rav, I'm planning to be a surgeon, and in another 10 years I will save life of Jews. Said to him, Rav Fryer, Shalhevet, this Nodah B'Yehuda. We don't allow to make now Isurim, because later on there will be Pikuach Nefesh. Like you're not allowed to do autopsy now, but later on there will be. Took Rav Avada Yosef this Nodah B'Yehuda and said, in our case it's exactly the opposite. You see in the Nodah B'Yehuda that we don't look in the future when we are looking now. Now there is Pikuach Nefesh. If you want to redeem the 40 soldiers, now they will be killed. The risk that we are speaking about only will stop another 5 years. I see from the Nodah B'Yehuda that you don't look on the future when you speak about Pikuach Nefesh on the present. Like in autopsy, you speak about the present, you don't look about the future. My father, you don't look about the future if he will save another 10 years. Now, he can't do an Isur if now there is no Pikuach Nefesh. Said the Nodah B'Yehuda, because now I'm not putting any Jews into Safek Sakana. Till the terrorist will come back, till he will start to go into himself, it will take another 5-10 years. This is what the Mossad said. In 10 years there is no risk. I have to look on the present and not to look on the future. And started a whole discussion in the room, are the two cases of the Nodah B'Yehuda in this case, are they similar or not similar? So the second topic was not the 20 that will be killed in the end, but the second topic was putting all Am Yisrael into danger, into Safek Sakana, but because there will be Safek Sakana only in the future. And now, it's a question of now, there is Pikuach Nefesh, I don't look about risk in the future. Therefore, Rav Avadia Yosef said, the second topic will be allowed too, because the risk will be only in the future and not now. And now we are coming to the third part. The third part is that there is a special takana. You have it in Gimel. Ein podim et hashvuim yeter al kedei dmeihem mipnei tikkun haolam. You don't redeem terrorists. It was a big question when there was a discussion about Gilad Shalit. But Gilad Shalit is exactly the opposite. There you want to redeem one and to free 40 or 100. Anyway, the halacha is that you are not allowed to free terrorists more than the world average, because that will cause future kidnap. If Am Yisrael will know, if the goyim will know that Am Yisrael is gomlei chasadim and they free always, it will cause that everyone will come here and there will be more and more and more kidnapped. In that time, releasing 40 to save 100 was more than the world average. And therefore there was a problem about question number 3, that it's against the takana. Here there were two discussions. Discussion number 1 is that takana even in the case of pikuach nefesh. Maybe that takana is only when you take a man and you kidnap him and he will be a slave. There is a famous case that one of the Tanaim can look please in Gittin Nunchet, Maaseh Berabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya Shalach Lakrach HaGadol Sheberomi. אמרו לו, תינוק אחד יש בבית האסורים, יפה עיניים וטוב רואי, וקצותיו סתורות לו טלטלים. He changed all his plans and he went to visit him in jail. הלך ועמד על פתח בית האסורים. אמר, מי נתן למסיסה יעקב וישראל לבוזזים? How can be such a חילול השם? He started to quote a passage from Mishayahu. This boy, this kid in the jail, finishes the passage. הלא להשם חתנו לו ולא אהבו בדרכיו הלוך ולא שמוע בתורתו. רבי ישוע was so amazed that this baby knows to finish the pasuk, that he said, I'm not moving here till he will be redeemed, even that they asked for a lot of more money than the average on the world. Tosfot is asking, why was it allowed? And Tosfot said, because if not they will kill him. And in pikuach nefesh it's always allowed. So said Rav Avadia Yosef, he was pikuach nefesh. Therefore the takana doesn't exist. Second thing that said Rav Avadia Yosef, very interesting, and he started a whole discussion, but it's really a discussion about reality. Says Rav Avadia Yosef, the terrorists are trying 100% their effort to kidnap. Even if we will free, it can't cause more kidnapping, because already now they are doing their 100%. And Rav Shaul Israeli disagreed and said, no, it will bring them morale, they will try even harder. And started now a realistic discussion if it will cause more kidnapping or not. The end of the story, Yitzhak Rabin comes the next day. This discussion holds for a few hours. And Rav Avadia Yosef tells him, I'm as a chief rabbi allows you to free the 40 terrorists in order to release the 100 people in Entebbe. Hey, maybe we are posting like Rav Shlomo Iger, and Rish Lakish only said that it's not allowed in a case of hanging to goyim because there is Chilul Hashem, B, because of the Chazon Ish, that it's element of Hatzalah, risking all the Jews still would be allowed, because it's only risking in the future, and the pikuach nefesh is now, and en podim et hashvuim yoter mechdei dmehem, you don't say in a case of pikuach nefesh, and anyway it won't cause more kidnapping because they are trying to the most. In this day, between that Yitzhak Rabin called Rav Avadia Yosef and asked for the question, and till that point that he came to hear the answer, already there was a plan to take Tzahal into Entebbe. Rabin looks at Rav Avada Yosef and Rabin tells him, now that you tell me that this is allowed, I have another question. I want to take now Tzahal, and I'm risking the life of soldiers, as we know that Yonatan Netanyahu was killed and others. I'm risking now life of soldiers in order to redeem them and not freeing terrorists. Now I want to know if this is allowed or not. If you will tell me that I'm not allowed to release the terrorists, then it's clear it will be allowed, because it will be the only option. Now that you tell me that there is another option, I want to know if this is allowed or not. Rav Avada Yosef looks in Yitzchak Rabin and tells him, I don't need for this question to gather and then again the six Gedolim. I can give you the answer immediately now. Rav Kook writes in Tshuvot, the prime minister, because he's the head of everything, he has the din of Melech. And because you have the din of Melech, you can, if your judgment is, even that you know that this is allowed, still you think that the benefit of Israel is to risk the life of these soldiers, and you are not doing it for your own interest, you are doing it because you believe that this is right for the country, you have the power to do it. Rabin said, I don't have doubt that will take the whole morale up, that a lot of reasons why we should do it that way, and it's for the benefit of Israel. And Rav Avada Yosef told him it's allowed, and from the room of Rav Avada Yosef he phoned the brother of Bibi Netanyahu, Yonatan Netanyahu, and he said there is a green light, continue. Yehi ha-shiur hazeh לזכר האישה כל כך מיוחדת, דבורה בת הרב חיים, ויהיה הנחמה צאצאיה הכל כך מכובדים. ערב טוב.
Again, thanks everybody for coming. There's a kibbutz in the back. Chilnut and Kugel, I hope. Everybody's invited. Oh, slicha. Amen. Amen. Yehi Shmei.